I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles now and turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 7. John chapter 7. This morning I would like to look at verses 1 to 9. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to read these verses. I'm going to be preaching. I've entitled this message, Do I Believe in Christ? Do I Believe in Christ? John chapter 7, verses 1 to 9. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh it, not who seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the blessed privilege that we have to call on you. And Lord, to draw near to the true heart in full assurance of faith. We ask you, Lord, would you bless this word to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and Lord, to our comfort and our understanding. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. I woke up this morning thinking, what if this is the last time that I ever preach? What if this is the last time you ever hear? What if this is the last time that we ever meet together just exactly like this? If we knew that this was the last time, what would be the concern of my heart? Here it is. Do I believe in Christ? That's it. What think ye of Christ? About 3 days ago, I knew that there were some storms going through Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana. And they were, that's always a serious thing, you know, watch that on Weather Channel. And I see, you know, they're having storms go through. I think, boy, that's terrible. Look at that devastation. Well, I talked to my daughter, Sarah, and when I called her to see how things were, she said, Dad, she said, we're in the closet right now with the kids. They put some helmets on their head, their little riding helmets. She said, we covered them up with blankets. And she said, tornadoes are going through right now. 3 tornadoes hit Dixon, Tennessee. Little old town that's not as big as Fairmont. three tornadoes. And you know, all of a sudden, I got to thinking, I got three grandchildren that's in that closet right now. They don't know God. All of a sudden, it became very serious to me. What do I believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Scriptures this morning set forth our Lord's ministry. It sets forth that after these things, now we just finished chapter 6. We've been going through this book verse by verse. And chapter 6 was just completed last Sunday. And I started this first verse, after these things. But do you know what I realized? 6 months has passed. 6 months has passed since the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7. Now the reason I know that is in John chapter 6, where we were, verse 4, it says, in the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. And then in chapter 7, verse 2, it says here, now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. And I read and I realized that those two feasts were 6 months apart. Now, I don't know. I don't know what happened during that six-month period. The Spirit of God was pleased to not record 6 months of our Lord's life on this earth. I don't know what happened. Nobody knows what's happened now, save the Lord. And now that we stop and realize that there was 6 months of silence, I bow to the Lord's good pleasure to leave us without a specific record of what happened during that period. And I do know, according to John 21, that the witch concerning our Lord's ministry on this earth, the Scripture says if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written concerning what He did, what He said. The world could not contain the books. Can you imagine? Oh, how many things we're not told. But you know what is important is what He did say. Oh, what we do have concerning His ministry. Now the Scripture starts off and it says here that after these things, 6 months after the Lord Jesus, He walked in Galilee, listen to this, for He would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill Him. It doesn't say that He could not. It said He would not. He would not because the Jews sought to kill Him. Not because of fear of death, but obviously, and He'll tell us this in a few minutes, His time had not come, and He wisely and prudently willed to not walk where He allowed men to do just exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to kill Him. Where He has no sheep, where He's not directed by His Father, oh, may the Lord deliver us from the natural constraint of our old nature to not want Him. He would not. He would not. I read that scripture and I cannot but help go back to the thought where two or three are gathered together in my name. I am in the midst of you. I believe he's here. I believe he's here. I believe that there are some folks that's met together to hear him, to worship him, to praise him. Oh, the evidence of God's judgment for the glorious preaching of the gospel of God's sovereign grace. Oh, the evidence of God's judgment where God does not allow the gospel to be preached. Never take it for granted that you have a place to worship. Never. Never. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That's 7:46. I read where on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Jews were to build some little booths or little tabernacles that were made out of branches for a remembrance of their temporary dwellings in the wilderness. That was a feast that the Lord instituted according to Moses, God's law. They would have this little time, this feast, and it would, what they would do is for 7 days they had to build these little tabernacles, and they had to temporarily stay in those little dwellings in remembrance of the time in the wilderness. And what they would do is they would have this festival during harvest time, right after the Day of Atonement. They'd have this festival, build these little tabernacles, these little tents, these little huts, right at the time of harvest. But for those given eyes to see, you think, what does that mean? Why did they do that? Well, here's the heart of it. Yeah, they did remember their time in the wilderness. But remember this, all things in the Scriptures concerning Him, concerning our precious Savior. And this was a festival that set forth in type, in shadow, the Lord Jesus Christ, who tabernacled in this world, in human flesh, who powerfully, perfectionally, mercifully, compassionately brought forth the harvest of all those that the Father had given him in electing grace. That's what the Feast of the Tabernacles was all about. They did remember their traveling in the wilderness, but their traveling in the wilderness was a type, it was a picture of him. Him, he who was made flesh and dwelt among us. He who came into this world under the direct calling of his Father to bring back to the Father all those that had been given him. Now, during this time, the Scripture says in verse 3, 4, it says his brethren. Now, well, the Lord, during that Feast of Tabernacle, it was at hand. And it says his brethren, therefore, said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now probably, and it's hard to say, there's debate on exactly who these brethren were. Some seem to think that it was part of his immediate family. And it concerning the wording, it could have been. Nonetheless, those that were somewhat familiar with him, some that had been around him for a while, his brethren said to him, those that may have been part of his family, they didn't want to come out and exactly say, we have no heart for your presence. What they wanted to do, they wanted to make it sound as though that it was it would be a wonderful thought for you to go and share these things that God said with others. Oh, how obvious is the hypocrisy of the old man. They didn't want to see him, they said, doing these things in secret and cause others to miss out on what he had done, or for him to even not get the attention that they thought he needed. Depart hence. Go to Judea. That your disciples can see what you've done. These things that you're doing here. Oh, others need to see this. Others need to recognize what you're doing. Because, look at verse 4 again, the latter part. If thou do these things. Boy, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks, doesn't it? If you're really doing this, if this really is what you're doing, if these works are real, if they're genuine, how obvious if these really are his brethren. And when I say his brethren, I'm talking about cousins, could have been part of his immediate family. It the word does seem to indicate that they were, not just people that just happened to know him, maybe a neighbor. So I'm talking about people that grew up with him. People that knew something of what he had done. He fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He turned water into wine. I'd seen some things that he had done. Oh, you need to go. How obvious that the scripture sets forth salvations. Not of blood. You think, they watched him. They saw what he did. Surely, they would believe. No. It's not by the will, not by blood, not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, but of God. Almighty God that shows mercy. Oh, the curse of many is going to be that they heard so much and they didn't believe. Many will say unto me, he said in that day, Lord, Lord. Oh, the anguish scripture sets forth when the Lord told him, he said, you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and you yourself shut out. These brethren. But in answer to the pretended love, that's all it was. I can tell you this because listen to the Lord's answer. They tried to make it sound so spiritual. They tried to sound religious. The scripture set forth that our Lord revealed their heart. Verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. He just exposed. It sounded good. It sounded faithful. But they didn't believe him. They didn't love him. They didn't appreciate him. Grew up around him, heard him, saw him. And then Jesus said unto them, verse 6, my time is not yet come. But your time is always ready. The world, and here's another word that jumped out at me, cannot hate you. The world cannot hate you. But me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet fully come. The world cannot hate you. Not that they will not hate you. They can't hate you. He testified, set forth that his time was not yet come. The world can't help you. Cannot hate you, but me it hates. And here's the reason. Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Now if you want to know what someone really thinks, if you want to know, do they believe Christ? Do I believe Him? They didn't believe Him. They didn't believe. And when we talk about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I've said before, I can't stress this enough. When we say believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about to the exclusion of anything else. You say, well, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I feel as though that I must... No, you don't believe in that. No. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ plus nothing. Plus nothing. The Lord told him, He said, the world cannot hate you. Can't. He said, but me it hates. It hates. Because I testify of it. Because I set forth concerning the world's depravity. Because I set forth the evilness of their works. Because I set forth the hatred that they have for my Father, for Himself, for His Word, for His people. The world hates God's sovereignty. They hate because I testify that the world and its works are evil. The only thing that Almighty God blesses is that which Almighty God does. Because I set forth that the evilness of this world is manifested in their hating the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. Go ye up unto the feast. Well, I tell you, when you stop and think about what is often, they said to him, they said, Lord, you go up hence. They're having this feast up there, this feast of the tabernacle. Lord, these marvelous things. Oh, how we love seeing what you're doing. Oh, Lord, these are wonderful things. These are marvelous things. Lord, why don't you go? No, he said, no, you go. You go up. You know what he was saying? I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you. I am not going to travel with you. I'm not going to give others or you the impression that I'm with you. What a painful thought that Almighty God would not go.
We looked at that back in Exodus 33 when the Lord told Moses, He said, go ahead, I'll send an angel to go into the promised land. I'll send an angel. He said, I'm not going with you. And Moses said, Lord, if you don't go, don't send us. Can you imagine just for a second a believer saying, Lord, depart hence. Lord, go somewhere else and magnify yourself. Lord, go somewhere else. And if the things that you're doing are real, how revealing that is. And for him to say, go up hence. I'll not go with you. I'll not travel with you. I'll not be with you. My time has not yet come. That is his time to be fully set forth as far as his ministry, his crucifixion, his substitutionary death. His time was not fully come. Their time is always ready. That's what he said. He said, my time is not yet come. Your time is always ready. You know what he meant? This Feast of the Tabernacles, it was according to the law. And it was demanded that they be there. It was demanded that they go up. You go up. And what? Don't worry. The world can't help hate you. Don't worry. Your time is always. Go on up. If you were of the world, John 15:19, the world would love his own, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. The work of God is that you believe on him whom God has sent. I testify that the works of the world are evil. What are the works of the world? What is that? What do you mean? I'll tell you what it is. It's the endless attempts by men to justify himself by his own supposed righteousness. I testify of it that the works are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. Verse 8. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not full come. In the Father's good pleasure, in the Father's will, the Lord Jesus Christ would go up. And Lord willing, next time we'll see where he did go up. And he will work the works of him that sent him, that he would give himself to suffer and die according to the Scriptures, and thereby redeem the sheep. But not yet. They would go up, they'd go to the feast, and they would be perfectly satisfied that, A, he didn't go with them. Now you stop and think. According to these Scriptures, if men preach not that which the Lord Jesus Christ sets forth right here. Paul has said in Galatians, if any man preach any other gospel than that which I delivered unto you, let it be accursed. The Spirit of God will bless the preaching of the gospel of God's sovereign grace, and to show you the blindness of a man's heart, just like these men right here, these brethren, they were perfectly satisfied to go up without him. And there's no difference today. Men, because of the blindness of their heart, are perfectly satisfied to be without Christ. Perfectly satisfied
to not hear the glorious gospel that honors God, that honors His Son.
When He had said these things, verse 9, when He had said these words unto them, He abode still in Galilee. A believer looks at that. He thinks of horror of being without Him. The loneliness of being without His presence. For a believer, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. David said in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. David said in Psalm 51, remember that we looked at this a couple of weeks ago after the Lord had sent Nathan the prophet, and He told David concerning David's sin and rebellion, you're the man. And David penned Psalm 51. After he penned Psalm 51, he gave it to the chief musician. He said, put this to words and sing. Sing my confession before God. Let this be sung in praise and honor to His mercy and His grace. Psalm 51:11. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. If He manifests His presence to us, all is well. But if we know not where He is, and there's times that He will, lovingly and passionately cause His presence to be withdrawn, and a believer knows it. Song of Solomon, have you seen Him whom my soul loves? If you see Him, the bride says, tell Him I'm sick with love. My heart aches. Lord, bless this morning with Your presence. Take not Your Holy Spirit, the knowledge of, the awareness of. He's promised He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. But Lord, cause me to know You. Lord, bless the word to my heart. Lord, keep me from the desires of that old nature that would not want You to be here. Lord, bless these words for Christ's sake.